Sorry. Mm-hmm. Let me record it.
Yeah, I flubbed the recording.
You mentioned that you were going to start recording, but, you know, you probably just forgot. But, okay, yeah. Go ahead, sister. You can finish.
Why are you recording?
So that we can have this for our own, for ourselves.
It's a record.
Yeah, if he doesn't record this, then we need somebody, on the other hand, just kind of like typing out some of the answers or some of the suggestions. So I can understand it. I mean, for me, it's not really a big deal. But that's just me.
So what I was saying, about the boycott was, that boycott that did that to Target, okay. There was some serious tech minded people that got a hold of some kind of way to saturate people's phones. And I mean, I called people in different parts of the region. They got the text. It was a text message.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of getting the information out there and continuing on and allowing the people that are actually boycotting to let them know through Texas or let them know through Facebook. All right, so far we've been boycotting this particular business right here for 2 weeks, and this is what's happened to their sales. That way more people will boycott it.
Right.
You know, and just continue to let them know, because the word will pass around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And that goes the same for these cities and these states that have chosen to harm black people with their police or whatever, you know, harm black people, a boycott. But it has to be something where you have to continue to network and let these people know, all right, this so far we've hurt their city by this. So far we've hurt them by that. Those type of updates will allow people to spread the word, and it will be more effective. But our issue right now is that we're not updating, and we're not, you know, finding. It was just open end. I was like, who was the person that sent this out? I'm trying to get in contact with them.
That's a great idea what you brought up, a text blast. Because I think that's sort of like what that is. You know, you send out a blast, and it hits all of the phones. You know, depending on your carrier, that's a good idea. Something to jot down and maybe you know, look into later on.
Well, I will tell you, I have a page. I love you, man. So I have a page on the site. It's called Take Action, and it's basically making that appeal. And that appeal is that we have, you know, the first step to organizing is everyone getting together in one particular place, and so that we can all just have a communications channel, because that's the main important part. I set that out there. I sent it to, I think, about 1,000 people. 1%, so 10 people. So 10 people actually signed up through that page. So I can, you know, you guys can go at it. You can go on the site. You can look at it. It's called Take Action. And it's basically saying that, you know, we're in a state of emergency. You know, whatever, you know, the plans are, whatever the plans are. But the most important thing is that we have a communication channel. And, I mean, that just did not resonate with our brothers and sisters, which brings me to, like, you know, I mean, well, I'm going to give sister, I'm going to give the sister room to finish saying what she's saying. But that is one of our main challenges. This message is not resonating. It's just not, they don't want to hear it. So,
well,
you know.
I don't know if they don't want to hear it. Everything that's been said has been said before. It's just the same old stuff. Yeah. And people wanted, they were like, what do you want me to do? Okay, and if you're going to tell me what you want me to do, it can't be anything where I'm getting ready to lose my job. Can't even be anything where I'm getting ready to lose my life. I could, you know, I'm constantly in contact with younger black people, 19, 20. They'll do it. Let them know. You know, they're not getting ready to sit down and talk about nothing. Send that text message out and then send the update. That's it. They don't want to talk about nothing. It's all about the text and all about the update and all about, all right, well, it's going to end on this day. This is what happened when we did this. And let them go on.
Right. Well, okay.
Well, I totally agree with that. I know back here in December, they did a boycott. And that boycott was more or less done by, I want to say, I think it was the Democratic Party did this one, or somebody created this. But it was hit them in the wallet. And what they did was they actually put a calendar on Facebook. And they invited people. And then those people invited people. And this is how they did that to and it was a boycott. We spent a dime nowhere between certain hours of the day. And it was done as a protest. It was definitely done because of politics, but the politics that was going on at the time, but it was a protest of those politics that were happening. And there were thousands of people that took part in that, and then it went out in emails and other ways as well. Some of it was just by telephone call, and people participated in that. And it will work. It's just that we got to have more than just one avenue of doing it, of letting people know. I know our family and my sister can vouch for me. We have a Facebook page that's just our family, and a lot of things go out over that. So, it exposes several thousand people to it, to whatever it is we're doing. So I use it, and my sister uses it, and then I've got several cousins that use it, too, for the same purpose of just getting information out there. Hey, this is what's going on. We need to be doing this on this date for this period of time. And we get the cooperation.
Yeah, because people like D.L. Hughley, he's got a major following. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a major following. Give him the information. If he's with it, he'll get it out there. And
do you have a way to get to him?
Yeah.
Well, you do.
Facebook, you can inbox him.
I'm just saying, y'all don't.
Oh, really?
He streamlines everything. He'll even respond. He's really good about it. For me, I'm not really a participant in Facebook, but I catch the news, and he streamlines a whole lot of information.
Yeah, he does.
And he streamlines it, and he's so legit, you know.
Yeah, and then he's on more than just one vehicle. He's on Facebook. He's on Twitter. He's on a lot of different things. I think he's got them tied in together somehow.
Yeah,
I don't know how because I'm
I know with the Facebook page, he's pretty much what people rely on for news. They rely on him for the news. Nobody even really be watching the news just to check out what he's talking about.
Exactly.
He gets it. He gonna feel, let you know what's going on with it. But anyway, I know there's been a couple of actors that have said they wanted to, that we should boycott this and we should boycott that. And I was like, okay, don't, you know, just think you need to be trying to get the word out a little bit more. You know,
right.
Get the word out a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah, because these people are going to follow who they think they look up to as a celebrity. They're going to follow them. And they're going to, a lot of people will do exactly what they ask them to do. So we do, you know, if you've got people on your friend list on Facebook or you've got followers that are on Twitter that would be willing to help you do that, and I think a lot of them will, by all means, I think that's just one way of getting the word out and getting more and more people involved. Because it's only going to help us. It's only going to help our people. It's not going to. It's not something that's meant to help the Mexicans and the Puerto Ricans and the Chinese. It's meant to help us. As
yeah, they got their network.
They got their network.
You best believe it. They have their network. You know,
and we're building
our issue comes. Our issue, we start falling off when we start talking about how we want people to get to a certain place at a certain time, you know, get to a certain venue at a certain time so we can sit down and talk about this, that, and the other. It's just, it's just a fall off on that. Like, what we're doing right now, the conferencing with the phone, pretty good idea. But these people, that these young people out here and just people, black people in general, send them a text.
So I am, you know, I'm the one that handles our tech, and you know, you guys are saying, yeah, reach out if you. So to be CAN spam compliant, you have to have them sign up for something that they're aware of,
right.
And once they're aware, then you're able to contact them. So like with this situation here, I contacted everyone via email because that was the channel that everyone allowed me to contact them. And then I said, okay, now send me your number and I will text you. So now you've given me that permission. But what I was saying though is we are not, so you're saying like get the word out, right? So we're reaching hundreds of thousands of people, right? So the message is getting out there. We're reaching hundreds of thousands. Right now we are at what is this? I want to say 125,000. We're at 125,000 people that we've reached this week.
That's not
the problem we're having. The problem is, and then so I can't pull up the analytics for how many people actually come to the site, but I made a post the other day, had 1,000 people come to the site within 4 hours, had 1,000 people come to the site, and they immediately rejected the information that was there. I mean, so before it was 91.67%. I checked it today. So it's 92.9%. So almost 93% of the people who came to that page just was like, no, I'm not with it. They didn't click to check to see, oh, hey, you know what? This is a site that says Black Wallets Matter. I wonder what that's about. They didn't click the post that's under it that said, hey, how we could reclaim our businesses in the black community. They didn't click to say how we could stop gentrification. They didn't click on any of that. And I have the data, and I have the data for the ages. The young people, they do not, our data, the people who actually engage with the content, so there's like there's things called a bounce rate, and then there's the engagement rate. The highest engagement rate is from people from 35 to 55.
Yeah.
18 to 34. I mean, it's like, if I didn't wear glasses, I wouldn't even be able to see it on the graph. Like that's how, and I mean, and I'm sending a lot of them. They're there. They're coming to the site, but they're not engaging. So this is not a message that they really want to hear. And that was one of the things that we discussed last week. So Brother Jim didn't get back to me today, but me and Brother Jim have been talking all this week about this app. And the app we're thinking maybe we just don't talk to people anymore. We just do what we need to do because that's the way that our oppression occurs, right? So, you know, our oppressors, they don't ask us for our permission. They don't ask for our consent. They just get to work squeezing us. And so maybe we just need to get to work, you know, reversing the effects. So,
well, because I was thinking about that. It might have something to do with the name. You know, it's so much has happened with Black Lives Matter. So much. They have put such a stigma on that name that, you know, a lot of
people are scared of it and shy away.
They just don't want nothing to do with it, you know, because it's just like, do I really want the FBI and all the CIA, you know, to be messing
and
with me? They're not reading.
Anything that has to do with money, our people are really skeptical about. So once they hear that, they're like, oh, somebody's trying to get money from me. That's the first impression. So they don't take the time to research everything because everybody's trying to get money from anywhere. Everyone has a pyramid scheme. So what people want, as soon as they hear that, the first impression, they don't think of the positive. They think about, oh, somebody's trying to get money from me. And then they leave.
The stuff that I sent them to is not even asking them for money. It didn't ask them for anything. It said, get on the list. So it said, get on this list so that we can have a communications channel. So
the attention span to the young guys is very, very short. You got to, like, I'm not coming up with a solution. I'm just saying what I think. Their attention span is so limited, they need something that pops right there in the face. Like, what you're saying makes common sense, but they're not using common sense. Their attention span is they need something bright and colorful to make them think, all right, well, maybe I will check this out. Because you're coming up with something like
They're young.
Their attention span is all of 30 seconds.
Definitely not getting ready to take the time to sign up for anything. They don't even want to pay their car insurance.
Exactly.
They don't want to.
Right. You can't catch their attention. If we can't get their attention in the first 5 seconds, we lost them. That's all of them.
Well,
the first 5 seconds,
okay.
We got to get their attention with something.
Well, I'm saying this.
We all need to think about something, try to come up with something for the next meeting to try to draw their attention. Because their attention span is horrible. I got a 23-year-old, and you talk to him, and if it's the first 5 seconds you don't have them, then you lost them.
That's it.
Older people will take time out to actually research something because they realize, all right, well, you know, there's a lot going on. These young guys, they don't have it. And that's just the way it is. It's sad, but that's the way it is.
And that's
true.
Okay.
That's
So we'll revisit that like towards the end. I want to talk about like some of the things that are actually going to be added to the membership area shortly. Sister Kokoya. Hello, Sister Kokoya.
I'm here.
She's not. Oh, you're here, Sister?
Yes, I'm here. I had the phone on mute.
Oh, okay. So could you just share a little bit? Could you share a little bit about what's going on? You know, about some of the things that you want to bring that we'll be talking about bringing to the, you know, to the membership for the membership.
Yes. First off, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm Kokoya Hall. And what I wanted to share was some of the things that me and Brother Lou talked about in regards to, you mean like the podcast and videos and all
yes.
the written report?
Yes.
Okay. So we talked about what I brought up was changing the mindset of our community is very important. So creating videos and podcasts related to changing the mindset and also creating wealth, making it a trend for our community, because being broke is old and played out. And also mainly talking to our men, not old, not young, but just our men, period, as a community. Also creating a legacy, creating generational wealth, which is very important, Brother Lewis talked about. Brother Lewis talks about, you know, buying businesses so we can create jobs in the community, and I strongly agree with that. We also talked about motivation, affirmation, inspiration, filling your cup up every day. That's so important and so critical to see our community in a different light, in a different view.
Could you explain what that means? Because I really love that. Could you explain what that fill your cup up? Could you go? And,
yeah. So every day, 20 minutes of your day, every day, you should be filling your cup up with the affirmation every morning, or listening to motivational speakers like Les Brown, which I listen to daily, 20 minutes of my day, because they say the first 20 minutes of your day will dictate the rest of your day, whatever your mindset is that day. You know, we all deal with obstacles in daily life as soon as we walk out our doors of our home. So having a positive mindset is critical because it determines your outcome and the person that you potentially can become, you know. So the mindset is very crucial. So affirmation, inspiration, just negative is like played out. It's old school. The new is positivity. And if you're dealing with anything or anyone who's negative, it has to be dismissed, and you keep moving on. You can't even entertain it. You can't engage it. You can't entertain it. You can't feed it any of your energy. So that's
absolutely
important. And also, yeah, again, sending out daily inspiration, because I receive it every day. Whether it's in my email, I get it, the word for the day, or whether it's hearing to videos, watching it or listening to it. Les Brown, like I said, is really good. And there's another gentleman named Eric something. You know, I believe we were all born to have a purpose in life, and helping each other, especially in our community, just taking each other's hand and uplifting each other. I know sometimes it can be hard because we all have obstacles in life, but guess what? We can do it. That's, at the end of the day, it's possible. It's doable.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, if you have a vision, if you've been given a vision, make it happen. And we always say,
Rhonda Johnson,
if you can't find the change, become the change, create the change. So that's all I want to hear right now.
So Brother Cujo, yes, how you doing?
I'm here.
So when Sister Kokoya and I were discussing this, I told her that you were you were actually working on something too, that you were going to be bringing something to the group. Do you want to add on anything? Because I know you said the symbolism and things. It basically corresponds with what the sister is saying. You know, just to clarify to everyone, though, so the things that she is saying, we are actually going to start providing them to the members, right? So maybe you may get a daily email, or, well, I don't know about a text, but maybe you may get a daily email or something like that, where it's, you know, filling your cup for the day. And it's just to, you know, keep you in the right mindset. But Brother Cujo, you want to add on to anything that the sister said?
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea. And it's absolutely necessary, especially in our culture. And I think it becomes more necessary generally speaking in our culture, because of where people tend to be at,
our social standing in society and our financial standing, sometimes it can be a little depressing. So having that thing to fill up your cup on a daily basis, I mean, I love the way that sounds and everything that comes behind it. And one of the things that I've been working on,
I guess that's me breathing.
Is a belief system that I basically termed it the Musa Li. Musa means being born of. Li coming from the time of Confucius when black people were basically reigning in China, but it came before that. So the Li, it just means natural order. So Musa Li means to be born of natural order. It's basically just a thing I made up, and there's a symbolism that supports it.
Wait, what?
Infinity sound.
Okay, then he just said something that he just made up. I caught that, brother. I love you for it.
Whoa, wait a minute.
That was comedy. Comedy. But the brother's truthful. No problem. Keep it going, brother. Keep it going.
Go ahead.
If you made it up, copyright it. You never know.
Right.
Whoa. I'm sorry, brother Coos. I'm taking it away, brother.
My bad.
Okay.
My bad. Oh, wow. And, okay.
The symbolism within it comes from, it's got components that everybody is familiar with. It starts off with an infinity sign. And under the premise that we're infinite beings, okay? And that the infinity sign is followed by a plus sign representing our positivity, and that is in respect to natural order and natural law. Followed by that is a greater than symbol showing that we are greater than what's on the other side, the negativity. We're infinitely positive, greater than all negativity. I use it as a daily affirmation along with a couple of other things. And just accepting that in my personhood or in my life, that's just what I am. I think it's worked out to be a good positive reminder in everything that I do. And I use it as the basis for this belief system, just being born of natural order, being infinitely positive, greater than all negativity.
Okay, brother.
And
so we can rely on you to put something together for us, or because you know we've been talking about it since you know about 2 weeks now. I know you're busy. But I think they would get it more when they actually see the symbols and when they see the way that how you have it all over, you know, how you keep it around you, right? So
yeah.
You know, it like you know the way that it struck me, I think that everyone would, it's basically, you can just explain it. It's just a video. It'll be there for the members. We can give a little description of what it is. I think we're going to leave out the part about you know what you say you made up or whatever. But we'll tie it together and we'll just make it available for everyone, so that they, because I do think that being infinitely positive, what is it? Being infinitely positive is greater than all negativity, right? Is that what it is?
Exactly.
It's an affirmation of accepting who we are, yeah, as people. That, you know what I'm saying? Each one of us individually is infinitely positive and greater than all negativity.
Oh, I agree. And then what's the other mantra that you have? The other one, I can, I will. What is that one?
I am, I can, I will, I do. I am successful. I can accomplish anything that I set my mind to do. I will achieve every goal that I set for myself. I do amazing things.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay, good. All right. Hello? Yes, hello?
Oh, hello. This is Sister Rhonda. So,
hey,
Sister Rhonda, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, my king. Thank you very much. I did come in late, but I do have some things that I just want to say. A lot of the things with as far as, like, Koreans and Arabs and all that being in our community is because we feel that if it's something other than ourselves, that it has to be better. What we need to do is kind of change the mindset. The quicker that we do get them out of our communities, because they'd only come to our communities. They're not, you know, they're not in the white section of any of
That's
our
right.
states. They come directly to the black communities because we have to look at the images that are on TV. And, you know, you got Nicki Minaj pink hair down to her butt. Apparently that is something that is acceptable. But when we go natural, that is where the fight comes in. When we are not looking, where we're not looking for relaxers, and we're not looking to get weaves, and we're not looking for white products that are kind of targeting black products or black people, but they're still the white element that's in their products that is affecting our hair, which is breaking our hair off. Now we have to go out and buy these things to try and get our hair back. So what we are actually doing, and it may be shocking, yes, this is happening in Colorado, me and my friend, because I'm natural. I am natural. I don't use perms. I don't use any of that, no weaves, no wigs, no nothing. So we do have where we order from that is a black line of shampoo, but she has also developed a pure water. There's no contaminants. There's no anything in it. I use that for my hair. It actually softens my skin, and I use it for my workout. Now, like I said, I am natural. When I wash my hair and I decide to straighten it, you can't tell that I don't have a relaxer in it, but I have not used a perm or anything else. It is just a wash and condition and a straighten. Or if I'm feeling some kind of way, you know what I'm saying, I want everybody to understand my black is beautiful. When I wash my hair, it goes back to its original state.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't if we don't have that within our community to show them you don't need this relaxer, you don't need this perm to make your hair grow, because that's why they're here. When you can show us that we can just do it by ourselves, then they have no choice but to leave. But as long as we're looking at all these commercials and the videos of the long hair and, you know, you got to twerk and have the long hair, it's going to be a hard battle to fight that. But we can do it.
It's hard for us to support each other. I realize that, because if I opened up, let's say, a Chinese restaurant in the hood, nobody would want to come. They wouldn't take me serious. And these Chinese people in the restaurant, they don't eat that same food they're selling. That's
no,
a great point. You
That's
watch
true.
Them eat. They don't touch that stuff. They wouldn't dare. But they serve it to us. If I came through as a black male and came through, people would, they wouldn't trust it. And then if I start doing good, that's when the hate comes in. It's like, oh, now he thinks he's doing this. It's like, I support anybody that I know that's doing positive. And
well,
I see that a lot of people don't do that for each other, and that's the sad part. People don't support each other. We don't support every other, we're going to say minority, every other race supports each other to some degree. And we're the only ones that definitely does not. Like we like to see the downfall of each other. That's so sad. They look forward to the downfall of each other. Oh, he thinks he's all that because he went to college, so he thinks he's all that. Like, really?
Well, one of the things that I will say is you can show the mistakes that are happening outside of our race towards our race, but we as a people will still go to that race. The reason why I say that, another thing that happened down here, we had a Korean restaurant that they showed in the alley carving up a dog or a squirrel that they were serving in the restaurant.
Mm.
black people still went there and drove.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't
have
went there.
Oh, and like I said, it wasn't like it was just like something like it was on Facebook or whatever. It was on our news channels down here.
Wow.
But they were still there, and I'm just like, really, you just seen what they were doing. It's outside of our culture, so it has to be better if it's in our neighborhood. And that is one of the things that I would like to eventually stop, because, like I said, they don't come down here and go to the white areas unless they're going to, like, do massages or all that. But
right.
They target us with nails. They target us with weaves and perms and things that are not good for our hair, but they are working with what the media is telling us is how we're supposed to look, that this is how we're supposed to look.
The liquor store.
Oh, yeah, they, you know.
Oh, honey.
It's right. So we have to, I would like to just figure out a way. Because there is a way. We just have not figured out that formula for our decade. There is a way for us to get there. So I just want to be able to be part of that system that's working it out to get them out. I know that may sound a little racist, but, you know, that's just what it is.
No, we got to...
That sounds right.
I live right here in New York City. You look in the Jewish communities in New York City, their money is in-house. Those are the biggest ones on welfare, first of all, and their money is all in-house.
Yeah.
So, you know, they buy from each other, they sell from each other, they have their own police, which is not even really police. They got sirens and everything else in the cars. Like, you know, the city acknowledges them to do what they want in their community. Chinatown's the same thing. That's crazy. We don't have that. We don't. So people look down at me because I don't drink. So people look at me like I'm some kind of oddball. I'm like, I don't understand that. Your hair is natural, sister. They're looking at you like you're crazy. You're like, we're the only people that down ourselves for being ourselves.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it is. That's a mindset
we've got to change.
Yes, absolutely.
We've got to change that mindset.
I just want to say this. We were given that mindset, Bonnie.
Well, here's the thing. You're not going to change the mind of anyone who you're like anyone that's like 18 or older, right? You're not going to change their mind. If all of you can go back and think about how strongly you've identified with whatever was going on in your life when you were young, you felt strong and vibrant, and you felt you were grown, and you were out your mother's house, or you whatever you were doing. No one could talk to you. So the solution that the sister said, is the baby. And that's the plan. I don't know if you had time to watch the full blueprint, but the plan is to provide, to create these community resource centers. And while we're working with the babies, we give them a new paradigm, a new vision of what it means to be black. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then that will happen over, then that will take place over 20 years and 30 years or whatever, or not even actually, maybe about 10 or 15, because as they become teenagers, they will have embodied what it means. And so one of the things is to make sure that, that they have positive self-esteem, make sure that they understand conflict resolution strategies and critical thinking. So that way, instead of resolving their issues on their conflicts with a gun or with violence, they're resolving it either talking it out or even just go back to back in the days and fight. Just have a good old fashioned knuckle fight. Nothing wrong with that, you know.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, right. So we definitely are addressing that. I hear you're leaning a little bit more towards what's going on, with the image of our young sisters and things like that. And that's important as well, and that's something that I think needs to be addressed culturally. We do have that within the community resource center, because we've been on for quite a while, and we'll be summing things up pretty soon. But I just want to say that So the purpose, the reason why this thing is called Black Wallets Matter is because our black wallets matter, our money. We're not going to be doing, we're not going to be able to do nothing without money, right? And
right.
Since this is something that more or less has kind of sort of never been done before, and actually it has, right, because I kind of modeled it from something else. You know, I took bits and pieces from something else that existed. But hold on, I'm hearing background noise. So because I've modeled it from, you know, some people and organizations that are successful, the association and the membership dues, they are very important. They give us so much strength that it's not even funny. So to your point in terms of getting the Arabs and the Asians out of the community, right, we're not going to just go in there and change everybody's mind and say, you need to stop buying weaves, you need to stop getting your nails done, you need to stop buying liquor and blah, 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 right? It's not going to happen. What we need to do is we need to go methodically and target their businesses with our own. So corner stores, for instance, we go and we tell the Arab guy, hey, listen, we have this community organization and you need to contribute because you're pulling money out of this organization. His knee-jerk reaction is going to be no. We say, okay, cool. We open up right across the street from him or right down the street. We set everything a dollar cheaper than he's putting it. Because we have the association, because we have the membership dues, now we're able to subsidize that business until he's getting put out. And in addition to that, we plaster the whole community with flyers like, hey, listen, you got a black-owned business that is exactly the same product, right? Because the Arabs, they don't have anything proprietary. There's nothing they have in those stores that we can't get. And a lot of them, they're going to BJ's and Costco's and Sam's Club to get to stock their stores. So they don't even have a competitive advantage. So we go, we do that, and then because we have the association, the membership dues, we're able to subsidize that business for 6 months, a year, whatever it is, and put them out of business.
Right.
And the same thing with the nail salons, or actually I wouldn't focus on the nail salons first because it requires a skilled labor pool, and I don't really know exactly how many sisters we have that are nail techs,
And with that, it takes roughly, depending, I guess, it may be different in different states, but it's roughly 6 months to get certified as a nail technician.
Right, but that's why I said we're not going to address that. That's what I'm saying, right? So I know there's red tape, but there's no red tape to open up a beauty supply store. You find the suppliers. You either go to China or you find them on Alibaba or one of these other trade sites. You find all the things that the sisters need, and then you put it in the store. You buy it wholesale, and then you sell it at a market. And so that will allow us to compete. That will allow us to open up a competing store within a matter of months. And so now when we go to a – so now we've put out two different types of, you know, staples in the black community. The other one would probably be like the chicken spots that, you know, like the Crown Fried Chicken and all these other ones, right? We put those guys out of business. We put those guys out of business. The word would get out. They would be put on notice nationwide. We make sure that we spread this on social media, make sure that they understand that, listen, we're coming out and we got money and we're making this happen. And then next time when we go to approach someone else, you know, or in a different state, and we go and approach the stores and the nail places and all that, they're going to be like, okay, what do you guys need? And then we just basically collect a fee from them to subsidize their local community center. I have all of this stuff mapped up. I'm sorry.
No, I do want to say down here where I live, we had where it was actually a community of way back in the day, it was actually a black-owned, just a black community. And that whole section, that whole community is abandoned now, and it was up for sale. I was trying to get backing for it because the reason why I say that I want the backing for it, because if we moved out there and you know, we take our clubs out there and we have our own businesses and we have our own, you know, clubs and we have all of those out there. And it's just a black community. That would be a beautiful thing because it would be like Black Wall Street where our money is passing through, you know, 20, 30 times before it leaves the community.
Exactly.
Of course, with all drawbacks, you may have one that'll come in and just like throw off the function, but for that short period of time or the long period of time, we may not have any of that. That would be our community, and of course, because just like with black people, it's not just us. White people like that other culture. If it's black and it's somebody black making it, it could taste like shit, but it's somebody black, so it's a different culture for them. So, of course, they're going to travel to go get that, but it's still our money being passed to us before it even leaves our community. And that is where a lot of the things that is going wrong is because we have these black communities, but we, like I said, we do have the Chinese restaurants and, you know, the Korean hair stores and the Korean liquor stores and this and that. We are still giving, even though it is our community, we're still giving money outside of our community instead of doing what we needed to do in ours.
Within our own.
Exactly.
It is hard for us because they're already in, so it's going to be a struggle to get them out of our community. But like I said, if we have like those distant, you know, open spaces, why not go and buy those spaces? Why not go buy those spaces? Build your buildings, build your own businesses, build your house. You know, one area. That's going to hurt them more than anything.
Well,
only are we not living off of them for rent, because we have this community where we're actually, our land is paid for. We just built this, you know, these apartment complex, and now they're out there. So, you know, once we have that, of course they're going to try and find a way to get back in, because now we've literally taken their business, but at least it's a start. It's something that we've already started from nothing, and we turned it into something, you know. And that's kind of what we need, because if you, no matter where you are, out in the boondocks, wherever it is, there are those acres and acres and acres of land nobody's wanting, nobody's thinking about. And you're going to get them dirt cheap. And then we can build our own communities from there. And then, yes, we're going to follow each other because, you know, hey, this is out here and, you know, the hottest clubs is out here. And then they're going to come out there, and now that is kind of where the danger zone comes in, because now, just like with Black Wall Street, they don't want us to have that, so we will have to have our own police force and our own government to stop anything that would come in. But
exactly.
Until we realize that it's really not just the liquor stores and the weed stores and all that that's down here that's hard for us. When we know that, you know, if we buy this land, they can't come and tell us what to do. They can't come in there and set up shop without our permission. It's nothing that cannot be done.
I want to give other people, you know, you're making all valid points, but, you know, I want to give other people time because, you know, people got to get up and go to work.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
baby. Go ahead.
Right.
I'm just listening. I'm trying to get my two cents in.
Okay.
Can I say something?
One thing
on
that.
Hold on. Who's talking?
It's both of us.
Me and Barb.
Okay.
Okay.
They started something very similar to what you're talking about in Chicago. They've got an area in Chicago whereas all black businesses, they've got a concert venue. It's like a conference center that they have. And they're building on that, and they're not allowing. They're buying up this property in that area, and they're doing it in Chicago. I forget exactly where it is, but I'll find out, and I'll let you know. But that's a good idea. But if you've got that going on in four or five different cities, it's going to be kind of hard for them to try to stop it all. They can't. They wouldn't be able to stop it all. Because what they're doing is they're building up their community in Chicago. Chicago mm-hmm. has their Chinatown, and they got their Jew town and their German town and all that other good stuff. And I'll find out what it is and what they call it, because there's a name for it. And I'll let you know what it is. I'll find out now what it is. But they're doing exactly what you just said. Exactly what you just said. And the idea is to not just do it in one city, let's do it in a bunch of cities. But we got to get the people interested in these various cities to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, down here where I'm at in Phoenix, it's expensive. Property is expensive. Land is very expensive. It would be real hard to do it here. Starting out in the future, we probably would be able to do that here in Phoenix. But starting out, I can't think of one area where you're going to be able to go and buy up some land and start something like that. I've been thinking about it and looking at it myself and trying to figure out, okay, how do I do this here? How do I get this started here?
Hey, Brother Lou, I'm going to sign off, man, and if you need me, you got my number, and thank you guys for tonight.
Yeah, I wanted to get to you. I wanted to get to your input, Brother Jim. I apologize. All right, brother.
No big deal.
We'll catch you.
We can get it next week.
Okay, there you go. All right, peace, Brother Jim.
I can think of a place here. Okay. I can think of a place here in Michigan that at one time was exactly what she's talking about. They had the clubs, they had the everything, and it was like our own resort. And that's Idyllwild, Michigan, and that's about an hour and a half north of me. It is so run down now, and stuff up there is not nearly as expensive as other places in the state. And it was all black owned. As a matter of fact, my sorority has a cabin there that was willed to them by one of our former presidents of our sorority. And it's on lakes. They got the fishing. They got the boating. They had everything there. And I've driven up through there and looked around. It's run down. We'd have to build it up, but we could make it that same thing that it was. They had all the class acts. Everybody you could think of was going to Idyllwild. You had the Nancy Wilsons, the Aretha Franklins, the everybody. They would perform up there.
That is one of the things that they do down here. Of course, weed is legalized down here, so we have those big-name artists that come down here. If we have our own community where they come down all the time, then that would build up that community.
Right.
And it's good to get it for cheap.
Okay. So sisters, I hear you guys. To do all of that, you're going to need money.
Money.
Right? You're going to need capital. And that's what I want to discuss now, because it's getting late. People have to go. You know, they're texting me, they're leaving. So I want to get to the crux of the situation, because when we have the money, you can say, okay, cool, we can go here and buy a whole city, we can do this, we can do that. But I, you know, I want to keep it on what is actually going on, what we have available to us now. Right now, we do not have the capability, we don't have the infrastructure. So, you know, we're having a hard time trying to communicate this message to brothers and sisters to the point where they even understand, and then they are able to come on board, right? Because the unity thing is one of the biggest problems that we're having.
Right.
So with that in mind, the initial goal was to get 2,000 members. What? Whoa.
Sorry.
Okay. So the initial goal was to get 2,000 members on board. We are still shy of that goal. And so now I am sitting here and thinking of other ways that we could still facilitate the things that we want, you know, still accomplish the goals that we want using the resources that we have. Right, so,
have you ever thought about the Greek community, the Black Greek community?
What about them? I don't know about
the Masons and the Deltas and all that. That
the Zetas.
For like the Shriners and all that. Try to get them to invest in something that is ours and not something that is building up the white Greek chapters.
Well, I'll tell you this. The sister and I were discussing that today. She brought that to me today, so I'm not in that world, so that did not come across my, you know, I didn't think about that. So that is something to consider. But that's not really what we need. What we need, we need something to show to the general population that, hey, look, this organization is achieving some degree of success. So I track everything on the site. I track the insights. You guys know Facebook is collecting every, you know, scrap of information on people. So I have data from the people that visit the page, visit the website, and things like that. So I want to run down to you guys what the interest, what the people, you know, the people who are coming to the site, people who are on the page, the types of interest that they have.
Okay.
Before you
ask a quick question.
Yes.
Do we have a target audience already, or should we be choosing from the data that you gathered?
So basically my target audience, the people that I've targeted on Facebook are people who engage with content like Boyce Watkins, people that are in the various Black conscious groups, people that subscribe to the African History Network. So it is targeted. It is targeted. Those are the channels, or those are the things that I would assume people were interested in. But when it goes to, when I look at the analytics, so Google drops a cookie. Google and Facebook, they have like all kinds of information on everybody. And
right.
So when someone is saying, so we're sitting here and we're saying, okay, cool, you know, we're interested in a Claude Hopkins, Claude Anderson, video or whatever it is, the data is saying immediately thereafter, there's about a 99% chance that we're going to some celebrity gossip or some hip hop gossip website. We are going to dating sites. We are going to job board sites, right? So that's we're social media junkies. So for all the people who've come to the website, that's what the data says. So that's what you guys are doing when you're not on Facebook looking at this, or you're off on your internet or looking through your phone. You're either on a hip hop gossip or a celebrity gossip site. You're on Facebook. You're either a social media junkie. You're either on a job board site, a dating site, or something else. There's a few other interests there too. None of that is
people,
reading books.
I'm sorry, I wanted to just jump in real quick. Since most of the people that are responding are in this age group between 35 to 45, do you think it makes more sense to have the target, have the information more focused to appeal to people in that age group?
How do you mean? Like, what do you mean? Change it and say what? I think the information, so what I'm doing in terms of, so what I'm doing in terms of the actual marketing, it is appealing to like that age group, right? Because I am on that age group. So I have like videos that have like songs from like the 70s and the 80s, like disco music in the background, you know, or stuff like that. Stuff, music that I grew up listening to, right? That, you know, I'm just testing it. So again, getting people to the website.
This is a hypothetical question. This is a hypothetical question, but to the point of it is, if we get more people to actually be active, is it something that can be done, or is it just a waiting game?
I don't believe it's a waiting game, because I believe with our hyper-connected world, it's just a matter of reaching out to one. So Sister Bonnie and Sister Barbara, so I was speaking with Sister Bonnie. We spoke at length. She reached out to her sister. Her sister jumped on board the next morning. Sister Anzia said that she came on board. Someone came through. They looked at what was going on, and they shot her an email. And so she didn't even come through, like, the Facebook. She didn't even come through where everyone else came through. She came through word of mouth. So Sister Kokoya, she called. She was on her way. She was doing something. And she's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to leave this page open on my browser for a week or two or whatever it was. So it's all different ways that people are doing, but it's all like from being hyper-connected. And it's all people who were interested, because see, the common thread or the common denominator that everyone has is that they are concerned with legacy. They are concerned with leaving a legacy. They are concerned with changing the state of affairs. They understand that this is not going to be an overnight process. Many have an entrepreneurial mindset, so they believe in things like having daily affirmations and being aspirational. Many of you, I have spoken with almost every single one of you individually at length. Every single one of you are contrarian in your views. So if you go, so we talk, you know, and all of you know, you speak to me, you know, one-on-one, Brother Cujo, you called me an asshole last week. We all speak. I have spoken with every single one of you at length, and you all have different views. Sister Anzia, I'm ready to throw you out there, you know, like I told you last night, but I'm gonna leave you alone, sister. But that's what is allowing all of us to pay attention to this and see it for what it could be. And there, it's we are the minority. So in the blueprint, I say that we only need 2 to 3%. It's 2.3%. I kind of skewed
that's
the number.
Right.
Two to three percent. That means for every 100 people that we're going to talk to, 97 or 98, which the data is already saying. The data is saying 92.98, so it's 93. It is saying that they are going to reject this. I knew this going into it because I had already done the research. I looked at, like, the type of views a guy would get on his video. He would get 50, 60,000 views, and I would look at, I kind of do a little snooping, little tech stuff. So the sister was saying, you know, we need someone that knows tech. I kind of know what I'm doing. I can sniff packets. I can see where his traffic is going, what kind of traffic, what kind of engagement. I can look at it from looking at his comments and things like that. It's only 1 to 2% or 2 to 3%. So those numbers are playing out. The thing is, I think it could work faster if either we just actively went out and started, and I don't want to use the word recruit, but that's kind of sort of like what it would have to be, actively go out into our networks, find people who are like-minded, and reach out to them and say, hey, listen, this is what we, you know, we've been talking about this for years, months, whatever it is. This is the thing. This is the thing. This is the thing that we're going to have to put our minds and our hearts. This is the thing that we're going to have to put it behind. Like I said, everyone, you know, your founding members, everything is subject, well, not everything, but a lot of the different intricacies, a lot of the different components, they're subject to change. I can't do every single little part of the plan, so I want to send, you know, I want to have other people in areas that where you're passionate in your life, you take care of that part. So we have a brother, Michael Frank. He couldn't make it because he works overnight, but he's very passionate about financial literacy and credit repair and things like that. Great, that's part of the plan. Go ahead, brother, you take care of that. Sister Anzia, she's on top of with the lawyers and the lobbyists and things like that. Great, sister, here's the organization is going to put you up in the Sheridan. You go down to Washington, D.C., go up and down K Street and go talk tough. Tell them you got a big check. You need some lawyers and some lobbyists. You understand what I'm saying? Sister Bonnie says she knows somebody. I mean, Sister Barbara says she knows somebody who's down there. Well, good. Y'all two meet. Go have some cocktails and then go up and down K Street and go find a good representative. That's what I want this thing to be. I can't do it all.
No, you brother, can't do it. You've got to
exactly.
I'm
so that's
the,
what
the
I'm.
The space that will.
I'm sorry.
I'm thinking about the space that we'll grow in. Are you saying about the rate that we'll be able to grow at, and the method used was basically grafting people in. You know, and for most of the people that's been attracted to it, 35 and older, that's kind of a mode of communication that we all used to, you know.
Right.
Used to getting stuff around by word of mouth and stuff like that, talking to people that you know where we actually have a conversation. You know, the thing that jars the younger people, it's just like when they choose songs for radio. You know, they listen to the first 20 seconds. That's how kids do. They gonna decide if they like it. They gonna pay attention to it in the first couple of seconds and stuff. So I think if we was gonna target a younger audience, then it would have to be material that's specifically geared to things that they respond to. Like this is stuff that we respond to. I think everybody on the phone now would actually sit back and look at the video. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at the whole video, look at the plan, but also have their own personal input, you know what I'm saying, and bring value to the situation. Just the younger crowd don't generally operate like that.
Right, and we don't really need them. I never said that we're going to focus on them. So, you know, all of you guys, you speak to me personally. I've spoken to everyone. We have a few people that left. So you guys all know when I sit down and I talk to you personally, I'm like, listen, I don't understand these young people now. They're weird. So I'm not really focusing on them. I'm focusing on the babies. I mean, if you wanna go out there and you wanna go try to save these guys on these kids on this lean and with this social media and this, it's too much. They have way, way, way too many distractions. Way too many. It's crazy.
Well, you know, that's why it's up to us. And once everything starts falling in place, they'll check it through the lean, mm-hmm. through the weed, through all of that. They'll crack their eyes a little bit, and be like, yeah, because the bottom line is, you know, yeah, it's gonna take some time because see, their anger comes from the fact that, I would say from what I've observed, from the fact that we haven't done this. You know, the whites have done it, the Arabs have done it, everybody has done it but us. They don't have nothing to reach and grab a hold to. They just out here. They don't have anything, you know, except for that dumb stuff. They don't have the positive, okay, this group right here, you can actually see this group right here. This group right here has established this. All right, you know, you can call this group right here. If you really need to talk to somebody, call them up and let's see if we can try to get you some guidance. You know, they don't have anything.
And on that note, I can say yes, we do see a whole lot of our generation going down that path. I've been blessed to have children that have started their own businesses.
one that is very, my future son-in-law is very spiritual. I'm probably going to send him this direction. You know, I do have young ones around me that are like, you know, 25, you know, between 21 and 25 that are doing these things. I just need to connect them so that they know how to expand. Not all the young ruins are, you know, smoking and leaning and everything else. Yeah. There are some that are fighting back, but there are too many that are not on that same path that they're fighting against. And that, you know, that makes it hard for the ones that are coming up behind us that are positive. So we need to focus. I would say we would focus on them, so that lead them.
I will tell you this: I'm speaking strictly from a marketing perspective, right? Because I am thinking about this based on data. It is very hard. It is too expensive, and it is too hard to find them. It's too hard to find unless
and,
you go.
I'm not debating that with you, my brother.
Okay, right. So that's what. So I am looking for quick wins. I am looking for a layup because I am. So you know, you guys are paying your membership dues. Your money and my money. Your money and my money is going towards targeting people. So we have. So a few weeks ago, we had 170,000 people, 7,200 people actually come to the website, 87 members, and we lost the member. Now we got back 5, right? So do the math. That is a whole lot of people. And then most of the other members are people that I'm picking up the phone and I'm calling and I'm saying, hey, you know, such and such, and they're coming on board. So they didn't even come through the funnel like that. They came through me actually networking and me saying, hey, you know, you were concerned about this. This is something that I did. And, hey, you know, you remember me when I used to do this. Come on board or whatever else, right? So right now I'm trying to figure out a way that would be easier for us to reach the specific people that we need. So I have the ages pegged down. I'm trying to target based on interest, based on what I think they would be interested in, right? So you would think someone who is interested in voice locking, someone who's interested in Dr. Umar Johnson, someone who's interested in Claude Anderson, and you know, some of these people who have more visibility, right? You would think, okay, cool. You put something in front of them that says, hey, here's the plan, and then there you go. Well, the data says after they watch those videos, they are about to go to bootypopping.net. That's what the data says. The data says after they finish doing that, they're going to go, and you know, and while they're on Facebook showing pictures of them with all their fat stacks and their money and their 50 different cars, basically it's saying that after that they're going to go on the job board somewhere and go try to find, and they're actually looking for a job, and you know, that's demanding them money or whatever. Or, you know, I'm just looking at what is. I'm just looking at what is.
That is how it is. There's nothing you can do about that. But the thing is, what we can do is we can reach out to the people that are like-minded. I have a cousin. He hasn't come on board yet, but he told me come the 4th of next month, he's coming on board. That's next week. Because I immediately, after I talked to you, Brother Lou, gave him a call and said, hey, Bill, blah, 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 blah. And he said, really? He said, I need to be a part of that.
Right.
He says, I'm coming. I can't do it right now because I don't have the money, but I will come the 4th. And I'm coming on board. I need to be a part of that.
And I've been talking to others too about it. And I'm gonna. I couldn't really give the type of presentation that you had given, but I now that I've heard it again, I can go back and say, hey, this is what it's about.
This is what we need to do for us, not for the white folks out there, not for the other folks. We need to do our own stuff and take care of ourselves.
Right on.
And have something for our own kids and grandkids and our lines coming up behind us. We need to do that for ourselves.
On that note, because it's 10:30, it's way past my bedtime.
Yeah.
This is,
I know.
I'm going to do what I can.
Can I say one thing before you go?
Yeah.
One thing you got to realize: you're going to run up on opposition, and it's going to be from us. And I ain't saying about us in the group. I'm saying from us, our folks.
Right.
Because everything that we've ever tried to do, even with the civil rights movement, there was opposition. There was a whole bunch of us that did not get on board with Dr. Martin Luther King, a lot of them. And they didn't get on board until things started hitting them in the face. When it started really affecting their lives, then maybe we ought to be paying attention to him a little more. But even at that, they still criticize him.
Mm-hmm.
So get used to it, because that's going to be one of the things we're going to be dealing with from now until.
They need to get with it and understand that there's a code out now. I hope they're, eventually will pay attention to that. Black people need to stick together. But you know what's going on right now? If it's an argument between the white and the black, and I'm walking up, and I'm gonna have to look at my sister. Because that's what they do. No matter how wrong this person is, they still stick. And I've always found that to be the wrong thing. I was like, why would you stick with this person when you know this person is doing wrong?
All I would say is, as black folks, we need to get together more than just a riot. We just need to get together.
This whole thing is about an alternative to the marching and the protesting. So you don't worry a pretty little head about that. Real quick though, so let me just run this past, because I know it's getting late and everybody wants to go, and I want to give everyone some time. So here's what I suggested. And, I mean, everyone is free to network and reach out and talk to, whoever. I personally, I'm convinced that talking is not going to get us to the numbers that we need, because history has shown that we cannot talk to them. We can't convince them. We're not going to change anyone's brain. I have some cohorts, some data points that I think link all of us. So, like I said, the legacy aspect of it, most of us have a business orientation, a business mind, right? So those are some things to look at. We were mentioning a few more celebrities. So we had Nick Cannon, Sister Kokoya told us about trying to reach with Nick Cannon. Brother Kev was talking about Colin Kaepernick. And there's a few other people, right? Sister Kokoya said she could possibly get in touch with Yo-Yo. And then you guys just mentioned D.L. Hughley. Sister Barbara, who did you mention earlier?
Cheryl Underwood,
right. You have, right. Okay, cool. You have Cheryl Underwood, right. You have access to. Okay, so that is one other thing. Here's what I was saying. Instead of talking to our brothers and sisters, we just give them something. We get the money from them, and we handle our business. That's what everyone else does. Right. I think that's what it's going to wind up boiling down, right? We give them something. They give us the money, and we just be responsible fiduciaries with the money. So,
that's right. That's how we do with the insurance over here. Give it to me, and I'm going to pay it, because they just refuse to go and fill out the name and do the stuff. I had to help them out.
That's it.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be a whole bunch of us that's going to do this. It's going to be
But that's why I'm saying it's the system. That's why I'm saying we need a system. That's why it can't be individual people. It has to be a system. It actually has to be a business, because if you want something done, you pay somebody to do the work, and that's it. The work gets done. There's no argument bigger. It doesn't matter what their political views. It doesn't matter what it is. You say, hey, I got a job to be done. I'm going to pay you some money, and they're going to do it. So I have a few proposals that I want to say to you guys that I want to, you know, I kind of want to gauge the temperature. So, and I'll go down the list because I have some names here. So the shopping site, that is part of our blueprints because we spend a lot of money on consumer goods. So we don't have the 2,000 people to build out the shopping app and the shopping portal the way that I want it, but I could put together something rough, right? It's not going to be as sexy as I want it. It's not going to pretty much do the way how I know that it needs to be done, but it will be something. And then basically we could go out there and be like, shop black. So you can go to Walmart, you could go to Target, you could do whatever it is, and the money still comes back to us because we're able to get a kickback from sending the people. Who thinks that's a good idea? So let me start with Sister Barbara.
I think that's a great idea.
You think okay, so we got one. Brother Cujo, what do you think?
Oh, a good
idea. Brother Cujo. Good idea. That's another one. We have someone who's from a 480. Who's that? You came in.
We got Jeff. You all saying Jeff from Phoenix, mine.
I'm sorry, brother.
Yo.
Jeff from Phoenix.
Jeff from Phoenix. All right, brother Jeff. Okay.
Hello. That's
a beautiful idea right there. That's the best direction we could possibly go, especially to establish something between our people, yo.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Y'all better hook up.
Hold on, let me go through the list because I'm going to take a vote. All right, so Brother Jeff, you agree. Okay, I think it's a cool idea. Okay, Sister Anzia.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Okay, Sister Bonnie.
Absolutely.
Sister Rhonda.
Let's go with it.
Sister Kokoya.
Yes, I agree.
Sister Kokoya. Sister Charmaine. Sister Charmaine.
Yep, I think it's a great idea.
Okay. And Brother Rock.
And Brother Rock.
I object.
You object. You okay.
Object.
So that's,
yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine. Okay, so the next idea. Listen, I don't need to know the reasons why. Okay, so the next idea, because this is based on data, is a job board. Right? Now, the thing with the job board, right? Because the data says that the majority of the people who are coming, they are looking for jobs. That is the that is one of the realest things. So we can't give them a hip-hop gossip site. We can't give them a celebrity gossip site. I mean, actually, I could make it, but we're not going to make no money. But so a job board would be useful. It would make the organization look good, and it's something that the data says that they actually want. So let's take another vote from the top again. Sister Ball.
Yes.
Okay.
As long as there's some professional jobs on that board.
Okay. Brother Cujo?
Yes. I agree with that.
Okay. Brother Jeff?
Hey, I'm all with it. Anything that creates jobs for our people and anything which takes us to the top, I'm definitely down for it.
Okay. Right. Sister Anzia?
Yeah, I agree.
Sister Bonnie?
I agree.
Sister Rhonda?
Indecisive,
okay. That was Sister Rhonda, right? Okay, Sister Kokoya?
I agree.
Okay, Sister Charmaine?
I agree.
Brother Rock?
I agree.
Okay, job board. Next one, dating sites. So that is the... dating site is the number one real thing, right? So you got all this other stuff, you know, social media junkie and all this other stuff, but a dating site is like the first real thing on top of the job board. Okay, so I could probably look into seeing how we could put together some kind of dating site. Sister Ball.
No.
No. Brother Kudo.
No.
Hold on, wait, Brother Kudo. No? Brother Jeff. No?
I'm 50-50 on that, bro.
I'm sorry?
I'm 50-50 on that one.
50-50. That's a no. Sister Andrea?
I'm with it.
You with it? Okay. Sister Bonnie?
I'm not sure about that one.
No? Right. Okay. Okay. Sister Rhonda?
A definite no.
No. Sister Kakoya?
I'm sorry. What was that about the dating? I didn't catch.
That is that the data says that the so from all the people that come to the site, and I haven't calculated however, right? So we probably had like about 10,000 people come to the site. The dating is the number one thing that they're looking for outside of hip hop celebrity gossip and all this other stuff.
Oh, really?
And so I'm saying. So I'm saying, do we do? Because I have a comment after we finish this. Because all y'all fronting. Anyway, the data says more than 80% of y'all gonna go to bed by yourselves, and y'all over here talking. Nah. That's what the data says.
I don't know about that one, but okay, nothing wrong with that data.
You're not in it. Okay.
But people are taking up their privacy, though. But people, no. We got too many no's on that.
And then the last one, and then the last idea, right? So then this show's promise, but it's really, really small. But it's business and tech. It's business and technology, right? So I'm interpreting it as website and web design and like web services. Now that's what I do. When I'm not doing Black Wallace Matter, that's my day job. That's what I actually do, and so I could actually create a quick and ready. I can create probably like an easy package for like web hosting, right? Because you got to have a place to host your website, and then maybe like a quick template for web design, and then maybe even give maybe even give like a blueprint. Like here's a quick way that you can make some money online, or build like a Facebook audience and market to your people and whatever else. So Sister Barbara.
I like that idea.
Okay, Brother Cujo.
Aye.
Yes, okay. Brother Jeff.
I'm with that.
Sister Anzia.
I agree.
Sister Bonnie.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Sister Rhonda.
I'm all in.
Sister Kakoya.
Yes.
Sister Charmaine.
Wonderful idea.
Brother Rock.
Brother Rock.
I believe with the dating site, we all need love, and I agree with this.
But we don't want to admit it, though.
We got a lot of love on this line right now.
Oh yeah.
my concern though with this dating site is liability.
Oh no, I don't.
What kind of liability?
I'm just concerned that we might suffer some kind of liability because you have all these sites. Uh-huh. I won't use them.
She's worried about Raper Randy being on the site, but that's
Raper Randy.
Raper Randy, but that's on any site. That's just part of the dating online aspect. Mm-hmm. That could just be anywhere. So
right. Okay. Well, every time you jump in the car, you take a risk. Every time you jump on the road. We travel your car,
That's true.
What I'm saying? There's more people who, go away from car accidents,
Okay,
everything is a risk.
Well, I will say this. Okay, so we have our two. All right, but I mean, it's too much backlash. I'll tell you, I actually voted no on the dating site.
Okay.
I voted no on the dating site as well, and the reason why is because I didn't want to twist the image of the. I didn't want to distort. Or tarnish the image of the movement, or of
what we're saying.
So if we do a job board, that would give us prestige or that would make it seem like we're actually doing something for the benefit of the community, and I may just whip that together anyway. The only thing is that's not going to provide as much money, because that's the whole purpose of doing this, to get the money so we can build up. Because really what I want to do, Brother Cujo and I was talking about this, we want to just get like our first lump sum of money, so that way the next time the cop goes upside one of our brothers or sisters' head, we're sending a lawyer over there to his defense, and we're making sure we publicize this thing. Because when we do, that's going to give everyone, that's going to give this thing more visibility.
There you go. There
send them over here. Send them over here, because we got some cops here that tend to harass our kids. We aren't talking about the older teenagers. We're talking about 13 and under.
Wow.
Well, as cruel as this may sound, we know we're going to need something a little bit more gruesome. We're going to need something like when that cop just count that kid out, just pulled him over and just hit him with the elbow and stomped him out in the street. We're going to need something like that, right? Hopefully it's not another shooting. But it has to be something that has already caught the public's eye, and then we're just piggybacking on that. And that's the same thing that we did with
talking about did. Because it was five kids, and they pulled guns on five kids, ages.
That was in my city.
Yes.
That was in city. That was
where
here.
What city was that?
And they did nothing. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This happened here, and it was five boys.
They told those kids to get on the floor, right, and told the lady, go back
on
to your house and mind your business.
Wow.
Yo, they were on their way home from a rec center. They had been playing ball. They stopped them claiming that they fit the description because they were black. Somebody that had been into a fight with a group of, sound like some men that have gotten into a fight. And these were boys in basketball shorts with basketball, walking home from a after school rec center, and they pulled their guns on them. Those kids could have gotten killed.
Anytime they actually sit there and bring up a black person in a situation, it's always a vague description. So in which part to come down to it, I'm like this. They said, say 5'6" to 6'9". You know what I'm saying? We all fit the description when it comes down to it, and that's pretty much their whole plan with. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all
you're talking about 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old kids.
You go all the way from Trayvon Martin all the way down to, you know what I'm saying, down the list. You know what I'm saying? We done had many of people who done actually fit that description or been in that type of scenario. This is the major problem that we are facing at this time, where in which it don't matter. As long as you black, you're always going to be a threat in these people's eyes. It don't matter.
Well,
really, and that's what we need to fix.
It's like a bully. It's not really a threat. Black people are a threat. You got to understand, this system, this police system, they're like predators and bullies and you know, and terrorists.
They don't see people as a threat.
Listen. They know that black people, listen, when these cops ride around, and he's, you know what I'm saying, whether they raise the cops and everything. The reason why they pick on black people is because they know black people at the bottom of the totem pole are having money to fool up for a good lawyer. They're not doing it to Arab neighborhoods and running up on no Arabs talking about you look like a terrorist and you got a bomb. You look like you've got a bomb and I got to harass you or shoot you or beat you up because you an Arab terrorist.
True.
Because they know they got money. They don't do that to no Asians.
That's true.
They don't do that to no Indians with the red dot on their claim because they know they come for money. So they know black people, when they talk to black people, they know they're dealing with the people that don't come from money. You know what I'm saying? So pretty much like
that's the whole point of this program.
Because they know we got the least clout. You know what I'm saying?
That's the whole point of what we're trying to do.
Exactly.
We're trying to have something for our people to stop this nonsense.
Yes.
That's the whole point
of
what we're trying to do.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah, so let's
like, we're not that video.
They're just pushing us around.
That video,
that's
all.
Yeah,
it's
got to be sophisticated.
I have it on the Facebook page. I have that video on the page. I posted that video, I think, yesterday or today or whatever. So anybody that's actually interested in seeing it, it is crazy. It's from the perspective of the cop, and you see he didn't even approach these kids. He's long range, has the gun out. He didn't even – I mean, he pulled his gun out immediately. Get on the ground, you see a bunch of little kids. That would be something, but it would probably be more like harassment.
I mean, right.
We have one
in Denver where they actually have the sheriff's department beating this man to death in jail, and they got a 10-day suspension for killing him.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Okay. Well, these cops are refusing to apologize or anything. It's gone as far as the mayor's office here.
But that's the thing. They did admit to wrongdoing in their department, in our department down here, in our city jail down here. They admitted to wrongdoing that led to his death, and their punishment was a 10-to-6-day suspension. That's it.
That's not good enough.
Yeah.
But you have a
lawsuit.
Well, you do
that. This just happened like within the last week and a half.
Right.
This is random.
You are not dealing with educated individuals. Police officer, to be a police officer, all you got to do is have your high school diploma or GED. You know what I'm saying? They don't come from a higher level of education. They come from backgrounds.
Right.
They come from poor white trash communities, you know what I'm saying, troubled childhood, just like people in the ghetto are. You know what I'm saying? So these police officers,
I guess my thing is on that, even though there's evidence that they done wrong, if they really don't have the, I understand what he's saying about, you know, wanting to have money, if they go to jail, get them out, because a lot of them don't have that money. Because,
right.
Like I said, that man, he was homeless. He was homeless.
Yeah, so
and
talking to bullies,
like
a, bully.
they have the video from him in jail showing where 8 officers literally beat him to death.
Oh,
and they knew that they'd done it.
I just throw this out here real quick. I'm just saying. Like, this is the one thing in which literally what you're just talking about, that one thing, me personally, this is my whole heart on that whole subject. Anytime, and it kind of goes to the subject, I'm sorry, it's a movie, or you know what I'm saying, Brother Malcolm did this or anything, I truly believe anytime, especially we know one of our brothers and sisters is going to jail, anything of that nature, especially one that we know that's been under violence in the streets, or once they get to jail, we should be checking on them while they're in there so we know the conditions that they're in. Because it seems like every time this happens, it's either one or two things. Either nobody's on the streets to actually witness it, you might get somebody on the camera, and that honestly disgusts me more because you got enough time to hold a camera, you got enough time to help them. But even more, from that side to all the way in jail, we got a little camera footage that they're getting in jail. If we got enough footage to see all this and we know this type of thing is going on, how come we're not standing in front of the jails demanding to know the conditions of our brothers and sisters that we know is in trouble, especially ones that we know that is innocent or actually even more? Let's see what the situation is supposed to hold. How come we're not sitting there stepping up and sitting there facing
brother,
these type
that's
of things.
That's not the protocol, brother. The protocol
right,
is going
right. But
that,
I'm just throwing that out there real quick. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna tell you this is one of the problems. This is one of the biggest problems that we are having in our community. We don't know the system. We don't know the game. That's why I get so frustrated.
That's why I'm trying to teach you. Yeah. I can't about that.
I'm sorry, brother. One of my biggest things is that, you know, you got a lot of brothers and sisters and you're saying that, but that's like equivalent to marching and protesting, and that is not going to be beneficial. That is not what we want to do. We want to go in and you got to go in and you got to have the money to do what it is that you're talking about doing.
Yeah. So, you're absolutely right on that, because then that does go back to the whole concept of, like, you know what I'm saying, getting the attorneys, you know what I'm saying, getting the lobbyists and everything, which we could have a better voice.
But so listen, it is 11 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock.
4:30 don't take long.
So you guys, I want to thank everyone for coming. I'm going to make a copy of this. And it will be available later on once I go and chop it up and edit it and whatever else. And then I'm going to take notes. I do have the from the voting, and I'll talk to some of the other people that left, and I'll talk to some of the other members who aren't able to make it on tonight, and I'll get their votes as well. And then we will know where we stand. But right now it looks like the offering, the website and the websites and the business type thing, that seems to be the winner right now, because no one really objected. The dating site got a lot of objections. The job board got one, and the shopping site got one. So, you know.
All right, can I just throw this out here real quick, bro, before you drop us and everything? I kind of got in a little bit late, so I was just wondering, I don't know if you touched on it, the whole thing, like, you know what I'm saying, the dues and everything, and, like, who do we send them to, or, like, how does that go about, and like that.
Say that again. I'm sorry. Go. Okay.
I was just touching on the open. I got in a little bit late, so I don't know if you did touch on it, but anything about the whole dues and, like, that whole process.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what, brother? All right, so that's something that's, like, been addressed in the presentation and everything else. You can so what happens is I'll text you after this, and then we can go through it, and I can talk to you in detail and give you a recap of what we discussed.
I appreciate that, brother.
I had a question about that too. About that same thing too. I was wondering, is this going to just automatically be taken out?
In terms of the association fee?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. It's
okay.
Automatic. Yeah, it's automatic.
That's what I wanted to make sure of. Okay.
And so when you go and you log in. Because I was going to walk them through the process, so since you're asking, for everyone, when you log into your account area, you will see the level membership that you have, and then in your sidebar, or if you're doing it on your phone, below, you will see, it will tell you if there's a button to cancel, that you can cancel at any time, and then you'll see a badge that tells you what level member you are, silver, gold, platinum, and then that is where when we update and we add more content, you know, for the membership package. So, like I said, the training programs, and, you know, when Sister Kokoya starts creating the inspiration, and I'm going to upload a business library for everyone, right? So I have like gigabytes of business and mindset stuff and all of that, and then that will just become the community's library. Right, so there's audio books and e-books and things like that.
You just made me think of what I wanted to bring up, too. That was about customer service. Remember we talked about?
Right. Well, sister, you have my direct number. So the customer service on this is you picking up the phone and saying, hey, Lou, I'm pissed off about something.
No. Not that customer service. I'm talking about customer service of.
Oh, we're with the black.
Right.
It's a little late right now.
So we'll do it next time.
No, listen, I'll tell you this. If nobody minds, I'm washing dishes and sweeping and mopping the floor. So if everyone is fine, and they want to let you go, then we can do it. I don't care. But, I want to formally conclude this, because I'm going to stop recording. And then if everyone wants to just say, their last things and just communicate, because a lot of times we don't have someone to speak with that is as passionate about this and that you can bounce ideas off of, I have no problem with staying on for, a little bit longer and letting people,
All right, well, check it out. I'm going to call the last word of myself personally real quick. I'm going to say I truly appreciate you, and I appreciate the rest of the family that's on this line right now, because of the fact that, I've been dreaming for this movement, something of this nature, for my whole life. ever since I was a child, I knew something of this nature. And I'm so happy to see something like this actually come to fruition and growing and, like, hey, let's actually be serious about this and make this happen, because this is something that, you know what I'm saying, Yah himself is actually put in front of us, giving us opportunity. So, like, hey, let's take it and do something with it. He already told us that. Well, he told us a lot of things, but, hey, we just need to get focused and start, one, become united, two, start moving to the next step we need to get to.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm with
you. Right, that's exactly it. What I was going to say was, with the purchasing of these businesses, the problem I find with black businesses, a lot of them I know here, is poor customer service.
Yes.
They are rude.
Whoa.
They are rude.
Well, I'm going to officially stop recording, guys, all right?
Okay.
So, okay. All right.